Songwriter Brian White, and you're listening to my friend Andrew right here on The Drew Show. Take it away, Drew. Hey, this is singer-songwriter Brian White, and you're listening to my...
Wasn't supposed to go off there two times, but oh well, we're here. I want to thank everyone so much for listening to The Drew Show today. Thank you all, as always. I always say thank you all so much for listening to the live shows, the archive shows as well. We really do appreciate all of your support. Please continue to check out thedrewshow.com, our brand new website that was just built for us. Click on the contest tab. We actually have a great contest coming up to win a pair of Busch Series tickets for the Atlanta Motor Speedway race coming up. So there's a very simple process you have to do. Just follow the instructions. They're actually Twitter instructions, so check that out and enter today for that. We'll be drawing for that very, very soon. As I mentioned, we have a great show for everyone tonight. You have seen our guest on the Drew Carey Show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And now he has his own sitcom, She's the Mayor. I'm pleased to welcome to the show our very special guest, Mr. Colin Mockery. How are you, sir? Sorry about that. Like I said, we were having audio problems. How are you, Mr. Mockery?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I knew something was going to go wrong.
Oh, well, you know, that's the beauty of improvising.
Absolutely. thank you so much for joining me. It is a true pleasure to have you on. I've been wanting to have you on for some time now, and it is a real privilege having you here.
Oh, thank you very much. My honor.
Thank you. Your career in comedy has been outstanding, and I'm sure what a lot of people don't know and to find out, find it's hard to believe, actually, I found it very hard to believe, that you've always been pretty shy. Is that right?
Yeah. It's hard to explain that to people once they've seen, a Who's Line.
Right.
It does. I guess I would make a wonderful case study, but once Whose Line started getting known, that actually helped me sort of come out of my shell a little bit. But it's still not my best thing, but I'm working on it.
Right, right. How hard was it for you to stand up in front of a crowd and actually do it? Did you have before you actually went out on stage, or did you have the butterflies and you felt sick and everything else?
No, there's this 5 minutes, maybe 5 minutes before the show starts, where you're thinking, okay, there's people out there who want to see a show, and we don't have anything for them. You get a little nervous then, but once you're out there, for some reason it works out.
Wow. Well, you were born in Scotland, and you came to Canada, of course, with your family a little later on. How did your career in comedy all get started?
I actually was planning to become a marine biologist. I know. And there was always a shocked silence after I say something like that. I was very studious. I was, as you said, I was shy. So I kept to myself. I was a bookworm. And I was really into sciences. And I thought, yeah, marine biologist. Then a friend dared me to try out for a school play. And I did. And I got the part. And then I got my first laugh. And that was pretty much it. I thought, yes, this is what I want to do now for the rest of my life. So I quickly moved away from marine biology, got into an acting school, and then through that was introduced to improv.
Right. Now, obviously, comedy is so much more of a different route than marine biology. So how supportive was your family through this?
They were actually, I have to say, they were very supportive. Considering, they were a very old country. They were from Scotland, and this was a profession that they really had no idea what it was about. My father fully supported me. My mother did, though she kept sending me matchbooks with the cover, you can be a lawyer, which I took as maybe she was subtly trying to tell me something. But it, and then once it started happening for me, they certainly, my mother just jumped fully on board.
Well, it was certainly the correct career move, I think, thankfully.
I think marine life and everyone else is very happy.
One of my all-time favorite shows is Whose Line Is It Anyway? Had me rolling with laughter when I was younger. I mean, me and my family would sit up in the living room and just watch every show, and I still go on YouTube all the time and look at the previous shows. And you starred in the British version of Whose Line Is It Anyway? And, of course, the U.S. version as well. What was the whole experience of Whose Line Is It Anyway like for you?
You know, it really is hard to top, just because I don't have really any skills except for this. So the fact that a show came along that sort of showcased that, I still can't believe how lucky I am. And it always was, from day one, just the best gig ever. Ryan Stiles and I grew up together, so I knew Ryan. So working with him was great. But through the show, met the other improvisers, and we became a really tight group. And, you know, there was that, when it came to America, there was the excitement of, you know, going to these upfront things where you'd meet the actors from other shows that were, you know, people you'd watched on television. So there was this real excitement. And then when the show started doing well, it was just... it was the best gig because it was all this fun. I got to work with my friends, and it was 3 weekends out of the year. So it didn't take a lot of time. It was just always fun.
Wow, and that was, I think, one of the very special things about Whose Line Is It Anyway. You could sit at home and watch you guys, and, you know, you watch some shows, and you're like, you know, they may not seem tense on the show because they're acting, of course, but you just wonder what they're really like. And with seeing you guys interacting with each other, we could tell how much fun you were having and how much you honestly loved what you were doing. I thought it was just amazing.
Really hard to beat, you know, being on television with your friends, making up crap. I still can't believe that's a job description. First of all, and the fact that I managed to get it, second of all, but, you know, as you said, I think, the great thing about Whose Line was, you know, we weren't playing characters. We were basically ourselves. So the audience got a chance to sort of get to know us. And it was just, I just can't impress how much fun it was.
Now, as you mentioned, and I didn't even know this until a little later as well, but you and Ryan Stiles have known each other for quite some time. How long have you two actually known each other, and how did you meet?
Oh, this is going to be really sad. Okay, so I think we met in 1980, just around the time television was invented. yeah, it was 1980. He was doing stand-up at the time, and I had just started doing improv. And a mutual friend of ours got us together for an improv tournament. So, and pretty much from the very first second, it was kind of magical. Everything we did kind of worked, and it was a very relaxed relationship. It's kind of a strange relationship in a way. I just saw Ryan last week. He does this charity for a burnt children recovery program. Mm-hmm. And he has a golf tournament, and a lot of celebrities come, and there's an auction. And he and I did a show. And that was the first time I talked to him in like 3 years.
Wow.
We never call each other. We see each other, you know, maybe once a year if we're lucky. But when we do, it's like I just saw him yesterday. It's a great relationship. I love the fact I don't have to talk to him.
That's a great thing to say, I guess.
Yeah.
Everyone on Whose Line was just phenomenal. I thought Wayne Brady and Brad Sherwood and all them. But when Drew Carey would call on you and Ryan to do a skit, then I mean you just knew that it was going to be something special, and you better watch right then. I mean, it was just. It was like the first time that you've ever watched stand-up, seeing you two. And it was just...
Well, we had so much fun to working together. I think we have a very similar comic sensibility. We find the same things funny. We find each other moderately amusing, which helps. And I have... When I'm improvising with him, I have total trust. There's times where he'll... lead the scene somewhere, and I'll go, I have no idea what he wants to do with this, but I'm going along because I know it's all going to work out. And it does. So it's nice to have that kind of relationship.
Well, and, you know, if you have time, go on YouTube and just look up, type in Ryan Stiles and Colin Mockery and watch the scenes. And there, I think there's a whole 10-minute worth on YouTube of just how many times you made Ryan crack up and he could not say anything. He just had to walk away. It's hilarious. I love it.
It's sad, but I have to say those were my proudest moments when I could break up those guys. because you know, let's face it, they're pretty jaded. You know, they've seen everything. They're so when I actually got to take them by surprise and make them laugh, it was just a pity, I know, but it just filled me with such glee.
Wow. I actually saw one time, speaking about YouTube, I saw one time where you and Brad Sherwood, you were on stage talking about Whose Line, and you mentioned that some people think or thought that the show was staged and everything was scripted. Did you guys receive a lot of questions and heat about that during the show and when it was off air?
Yeah, it's sort of a backhanded compliment. I mean, people would always say, well, it just seems so seamless, it couldn't be made up. But it's like, well, that's what, especially with Whose Line, because we got into such a groove and everybody had worked together so long, it was fairly rare where a scene didn't just bombed or sucked. It got pretty good. So it was hard to, you know, Brad and Sherwood and I have been touring for the last 7 years, and we always ask at the beginning of the show how many people think that, you know, we had a chance to see the suggestions and Whose Line, and about 25% of the people always raise their hands, and I always, my first thing is, well, then why did you buy a ticket to this show? And then for the rest of the show, it's just our job to prove to them that we're doing it off the top of the head. In fact, some of the time, you know, we bring those people up on stage and make them do stuff with us. But for me, the musical games, I think, were people just couldn't understand how someone can do that, get a suggestion, make up a funny song that sounded great and was funny. But and I always felt bad for them because I felt they really didn't get the recognition they deserved because people thought they were somehow cheating. But Wayne, Brad, Chip, Jeff Davis, they were all amazing, amazing singers. But it is weird to do something and have people think you're not actually – like, I can't do brain surgery, but I know people do it. It's like that. Right. You know, I accept it's what we do. It's our only skill. Please let us have it.
What was it like backstage for you guys? Did you off camera, did you guys ever go out and do anything? Did you really get along with each other as like you did on stage?
Yeah, everybody gets along really well. Because I lived in Canada, that was the only time I got to see the guys was during the taping. And as I said, it was like 3 weekends of 3-day tapings. Mm-hmm. So we would hang out, you know, before the show we'd sort of get together. And we'd play cards or we'd, just eat a lot of crap off the craft table. And then afterwards, after the show, we go out for a drink. And it's always, when we started doing Drew Carey's Improvaganza, it had been a while since I'd seen the guys. And it was so nice to see them again. Brad I see mostly because we tour together. Greg I see a little more often for some reason. Our paths always cross. But it was lovely seeing Wayne again and Jeff Davis and Chip Essen. I don't want to compare us to a platoon of soldiers, but I had that sort of, because you're going out there on stage with nothing except yourselves and each other,
right.
you pick up a bond pretty quickly.
Right, I can imagine. And now you actually are starring on Drew Carey's new show, Improvaganza. Are you still filming that currently?
We shot that, I guess, in the early spring. So we shot, again, I think we did like 10 tapings, and they got 40 shows from that.
Wow.
So we're just waiting to hear if there's going to be a second season.
I see. Well, I actually didn't even get a chance to see it, just to be honest. But I did see some things on YouTube about it. If you haven't figured out by now, I'm a big fan of YouTube.
YouTube, you can find some great stuff.
You really can. Wow. So what would you, and not necessarily speaking about Whose Line, well, maybe, but what would you say in your career since you've been doing this, what are you most proud of, if that puts you on the spot?
I mean, there's so many things I'm not proud of, so it's nice to talk about the things I'm proud of. Well, I definitely Whose Line. Just for a couple of reasons that I didn't totally realize as I was doing the show, there was sort of an improv burst after the show happened, and a lot of schools started improv clubs, a lot of kids. What I loved about the show was families watched the show, and so many times people would come up, you know, our family would play those games and, you know, improvise, have an improv night. And I thought, well, that's kind of great. We're, you know, we're firming up the family. And it was just a magical time. And so often, you know, when I love what I do, but sometimes you sort of downgrade it because you think, you know, especially when you're talking to someone like, a doctor or someone, and you say, well, for, you know, my living, I sometimes walk like a chicken and, you know, jump around and try to get laughs. But then I've met so many people who have gone through some sort of personal tragedy, either a loved one dying or going through a divorce or a horrible sickness. And they said, that show, for that half hour, there was nothing else but that. I didn't wallow in self-pity. I didn't think about my horrible situation. I just laughed for half an hour. So I was that makes me proud. Things like that. That a show that, you know, we think is kind of goofy fun actually help people at certain points in their lives.
Wow. And, you know, and I bet, like you said, kind of goofing off and having fun and then kind of sitting back and thinking about it like, oh, wow, this did make an impact on people. That must be pretty special. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It really is fulfilling.
Colin, I just was notified by my producers that we have a special call on the line. Let's take this. Colin, please welcome former member of Whose Line Is It Anyway, Miss Laura Hall. Hi.
Hi, Colin.
Laura, you know, I've always been a big fan of yours.
I've always been a fan of yours, Colin.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. I'm real good. How are you doing?
Good. I sort of keep tabs on you through Facebook.
Yeah, that's one of the things Facebook is good for, isn't it?
It is.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. Laura, thank you so much for calling in. If you don't mind if I ask you a few questions, what is one thing you remember most about Colin, either on or off camera?
Come on.
The thing I remember most is the look of dread when it was time to do a hoedown. Because that was not in the comfort zone for Colin. And I kind of felt like I was the torturer, you know, that I would bring that on for him.
You know, every once in a while I hear those chords and I just, oh, it's horrible.
You have nightmares about it. You just hear a few hoedown chords. And and sometimes getting a good hoedown was, not only from Colin, from all the guys, but sometimes it was painfully difficult. We had some challenges. And usually it would be at the end of the night that we'd be doing it, so everyone would be already tired anyway. And there were times when, and what you don't know about the hoedown was that in between each of the guys, mm-hmm. I would be vamping, you know, and then they would trim the vamp to a reasonable amount of time for the show. But sometimes I'd just be playing vamping for hours while
there
the
were
next
some
person
long,
was thinking
long
of it.
Vampings, I remember.
Wow. I would have loved to have seen some of those. And you're right. The looks on Colin's face when they would ask him to do certain things and are looking at the thing Drew had handed him, it was just priceless. You could not you could not have scripted that. No way.
Yeah. I also love when Colin played.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I also loved when you played the green screen game.
Yes.
Partly because it was just torture.
I know. I just realized there's a common thread here. You loved seeing me in discomfort.
Apparently, that's it.
Wow. Wow. Laura, and, you know, there were so many scenes, especially with Colin, that had me rolling on the floor, as I mentioned earlier during the interview. How did you keep your composure at the piano when things were going on? Did you ever mess up and they had to start over again?
I was absolutely perfect. I never made a mistake the whole time, so I don't know.
I think there's actually footage of you making mistakes.
Uh-oh.
Yes,
during
actually,
a Village People number.
Oh my gosh, the Village People one. That was a classic. That was classic Colin in discomfort right there, watching you try to dance to that thing as it sped up. Was yeah.
But I tried. That's the important thing.
I know.
No. Wow.
But actually, when you're playing for people singing for improv, that you have to concentrate so much that you do recognize that it's funny, but it's different than when you're in an audience listening. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're having to concentrate too. And there certainly were times when I laughed, but not like I would laugh when I would just, like the games where there wasn't music and I was just sitting watching, I'd be laughing my head off like an audience member. But when you're playing and you just have to concentrate and be paying attention, you just can't let yourself, you know, laugh so much.
Wow. So. Colin, I would have loved it if you would have drugged Laura over there for one of the scenes that you and Ryan were doing. That would have been awesome.
It would have been nice. It'd be nice to see her on stage. I have to say, she was always very kind to me. Whenever I had to sing, she would actually like slow it down to almost Rain Man tempo in an effort to get me to sing right. God bless her.
Oh, man. Laura, I hear you're on a nationwide tour yourself right now. Tell us a little about that real quick.
Oh, I am. I'm out with my band, The Sweet Potatoes is the name of my new band. And we are in the muggy Midwest at the moment. We did some gigs last weekend, and we got some coming up this weekend in central Illinois. And we're having a great time. It's really fun.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's my new band. We've been together a little under a year, and we're having a lot of fun playing together.
I can imagine you are. And what's your website?
It's laurahall.com.
Very simple, laurahall.com.
Yep.
Well,
I'm writing this down, laurahall.com.
Got it, Colin?
We'll wait, okay, Colin, don't worry.
No, I got it. I always have trouble spelling com.
Well, that's for another show, I guess. But... Wow. Laura, thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, sure thing. My pleasure. Nice talking to you, Colin.
Lovely talking to you. Give my best to the family.
You too. You as well. All
okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Well, it must be, and you said you talk to Ryan and every once in a while or maybe once a year, and you talk to Greg, and you're also on tour with I'm sorry, I just went blank after talking to
Brad. No, it's
Brad,
understand.
Right?
He's not one of the good ones.
it must be really nice, kind of like a little reunion again, talking to him and kind of reliving some memories. That must be pretty nice.
It is nice. I don't think I've seen Laura since the show ended, which was 7 years ago. So, as I say, we sort of kept in contact through Facebook, but I haven't heard her voice or seen her in that long. So that was nice. I mean, she's just a sweetie.
She really is. And as I mentioned a few times, you are on a nationwide tour with your friend and former star of Whose Line Is It Anyway, Brad Sherwood. How is that going, and how did it all come about for the tour?
It came out in, you know, a very selfish manner. I hate to expose this part of me to you, but when we were doing Whose Line, Drew used to have a standing invite at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, and every Super Bowl weekend he would do stand-up. When we started doing Whose Line, he said, hey, why don't we all just go down there, we'll take my spot, and we'll just do improv, and we'll split my fee. I thought, okay, I really can't argue with that in any possible way. So it was all the cast and a couple of friends. We went down, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. The only problem was there was like 12 of us. Wow. So in an hour and a half, you really wouldn't get a lot of stage time. And Brad had been toying with the idea of doing a two-man tour, and we're both kind of stage hogs and thought, yeah, that'd be nice, just the two of us. We don't have to share with anyone. We can just us all the time. Mm-hmm. So we started booking some gigs, and seven years later, it's still going strong.
Wow. And how can people find you, Brad? How can people find you and Brad, I should say? But you have an official website and Twitter and Facebook and all that as well, don't you?
Yes. You see, this is where I feel like a caveman. It's like trying to remember. I think it's colinandbradshow.com is our website. Mm-hmm. And I have a Facebook page and a Twitter thing. And as you can tell, other people set them up for me.
I see.
That in the background. It's that I don't get it. I don't understand this technology.
I can see that. Do you tweet your own tweets and things like that, though?
I do. I mean, I usually, most of it I use as a sort of a advertising tool. But every once in a while, I've got nothing to do. I think, oh, I'll just put something pithy out there. But it ends up just being kind of goofy, which is, I guess, what I'm known for. So it's working out. It's actually kind of fun.
You're going to have to follow me. And mine is W-A-E-J, The Drew Show.
So. I got it. It's right beside laurahall.com.
Okay. You actually wrote that down quicker than you wrote laurahall.com down. So you're getting better.
I'm getting better.
Now, before I let you go, can you give us anything from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
You want a juicy behind-the-scenes story?
Sure.
I wish I had some. It was pretty dull, I have to say. The cast... we never got up to any shenanigans. I kept thinking someone has to bring in drugs and alcohol and strippers, and we have to get caught in a compromising position. It's only going to help our ratings, but they wouldn't go for it.
Wow.
Yeah. No, the most exciting time was when Richard Simmons showed up and was really energetic.
That must have been a lot of fun with him, right?
It was. It was.
Colin Mockery, it is a true pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. It was so much fun.
It was. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Mr. Colin Mockery. I want to thank everyone so much for listening to the show. Please continue to check out thedrewshow.com for more info. And please enjoy this song by Jesse and the Toy Boys, We Own the Night. Jesse, We Own the Night from Jesse and the Toy Boys. We had Jesse on our last show. You can check her out on our archive shows. She sings We Own the Night, Push It, Summer Boy, so many great hits. I want to thank our guest again tonight, Mr. Colin Mockery. You can listen to the archive show in just a few minutes. It will be available on here. You can follow us on Twitter at WAEJ The Drew Show. You can also check out our website, thedrewshow.com. Please check out the contest tab for a great contest we have to win some NASCAR tickets. So check that out today. Thank you all so much for listening. Please stay tuned for more shows to come. Good night.